Last time on Jonathan Park and the journey never taken.
Dad, some courier came running up with this package for you.
The package is probably in the hands of Dr. Kendall Park by now. Are you willing to give your all to get it?
Like you, I've waited for this day.
Oh, what is that, Kendall?
It looks like a medallion.
Well, don't you want to know who it belonged to?
Carl Linnaeus. This medallion seems to be inviting us on some kind of journey.
I don't even know where to begin looking.
You're supposed to return it to its home, right? Well, in 1758, Carl Linnaeus bought a home in Hammarby, Sweden.
Look along the walls.
I'll check this one. Jim, it's right here in this case.
How come there's already one here?
We found you.
It's time to give over that polar star.
Oh, no.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey Never Taken.
Kid, are you going to make me rip the polar star out of your hands?
Not a chance.
Everyone, stay right where you are.
Whoa. The police?
Who called them?
I did. Emma from the front desk?
Ingrid from Leila's Hammarby called me because this group of Americans has what appears to be the polar star.
We thought we did, but there's another one here.
We've had this one display here at the Leila's Museum more than 40 years.
Actually, you haven't.
Who are you?
He's Andres and I'm Jakob. We're friends of the polar star. Ma'am, may I remove it from the display case?
I think you should open it so we can get to the bottom of this.
Carefully, please.
Okay, got it.
They look identical.
Not exactly. Feel the difference of the weight between these two.
Are you saying this one's a fake?
Many, many years ago, the polar star was to be donated to the Gothenburg City Museum for the benefit of the public. A courier was hired to make the delivery, but on the way he was ambushed, and marauders switched the polar star for this replica, and they threatened to kill his family if he did not deliver it.
The counterfeit star remained unnoticed at the Gothenburg City Museum. Then, more than 40 years ago, it was loaned here to the Leines Museum.
How do you know all of this?
That story has been handed down through generations in our family. Each father explaining to their sons the fate of our ancestor, the courier, and passing the responsibility of someday returning the polar star to its home.
It came to us with a note saying that if we returned it to its home, we'd receive a great reward.
I know of no such reward.
Wait, it's not home yet. Miss, when the polar star was loaned from the other museum, did it come in this display case?
Yeah, I heard the case was made by an American over 150 years ago, and the star's been inside ever since.
May I have permission to hang it onto the peg in the case?
I guess it'd be no harm in that.
Look, a secret compartment!
I've dusted this case for years and never knew.
Why did it only open for the real star?
You know, I'll bet whoever made this case designed this drawer to only open with the weight of the real star.
It's another old envelope with the same polar star insignia as the first one.
What's it say?
Fair spring advancing calls her feathers choir and tunes to softer notes her laughing lyre.
Can I see, son? Okay, then it goes on about zephyrs and sylphs and golden hair. Now, let's see now. There's something about nymphs and ends with, must in roses lap fresh dews they shed, or breathe celestial lustres around her head.
It's some kind of a weird poem.
Andreas, your family was on a journey to return the polar star back here to its home. But now it looks like it's led us to a clue that's sending our family on a journey.
You're having a good time.
All right, creation response team. Thank you all for meeting in the hotel lobby like this. Now listen, there's several nice restaurants here in Uppsala, and I thought over breakfast we could talk about whether we follow this next clue.
Are we considering quitting?
Jonathan, this was supposed to be just a quick trip to Sweden. We really need to get back to business at home.
You were right. It's them.
Look, it's a bunch of reporters.
Wow.
It's rolling.
I'm Marcus with TV Channel 2Z.
Where did you get this star?
We arrived at our museum from an anonymous sender.
The Leines Museum claims you're on some sort of scavenger hunt.
Well, yes, possibly. We're trying to decide whether to proceed or not.
Hello, Trenton Wells with the London Harbinger News.
Really?
I've heard that this scavenger hunt promises a rather large reward upon its completion.
It did mention a treasure.
But it seems like a major undertaking. It would follow that the prize would be equal to the task.
So where do you plan to go from here?
We just aren't sure at this time. We're going to really have to think through our next step.
Hello, Katie. Jonathan.
Hi, Dad.
All right, guys. Everyone else has gone to get lunch to debrief after the press conference.
Katie and I are trying to figure out what this strange poem means.
I'm typing it into my search engine to see if a website pops up.
We noticed that some of the letters are italicized and others are capitalized.
Jonathan, can you give me the letters that are italicized?
No problem, Dad. C from the word advancing. A from calls. N from and. T from tunes. And then the O from two.
Okay.
The whole word notes is italicized. And then the I in bids. And that looks like all of them.
All right, well, okay. If we put all these letters together, it spells canto notesi. What's that mean?
It doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, then let's try the capitalized letters.
Okay. B from birds. E from the end of love. A from play. C in graceful. O in golden, N from golden, S at the end of forms, T at the end of orient, R in fresh, E in they, another E from breathe, and finally T from lusters.
Okay.
It looks like bacon strips.
It's Beacon Street.
Oh, Katie, I think you're right. You know, the problem is there's got to be thousands of Beacon Streets in the world.
Bingo! I found a website that has this exact poem. It says it comes from a book called Botanical Garden.
Botanical Garden by Erasmus Darwin.
Huh?
Erasmus Darwin? I know Charles Darwin, but who's Erasmus?
Jonathan, he was Charles' grandfather. He was born in 1731, not too long after Carl Linnaeus. You see, even though Erasmus was a physician, he loved to study plants and animals, and he fell in love with the work of Linnaeus.
Dad, Linnaeus was a creationist. Did Erasmus Darwin believe the same way?
Not at all. Remember how Linnaeus believed the original plant and animal kinds were created by God? But Erasmus believed that new plants and animals could change into others over long periods of time.
So how come he's not credited with the theory of evolution?
Well, Katie, Erasmus was worried that some of his more radical ideas and inventions would ruin his reputation as a doctor. For this reason, he even published some of his books anonymously.
You said he was also a writer?
That's right. And many of his works were in the form of poetry that conveyed new and radical scientific thought. And again, much of it was influenced by his love of Carl Linnaeus.
It's sad that he took the ideas of a creationist and used them to promote evolutionary ideas.
Sad indeed, Katie.
That's like what Romans 1 says. After they deny the Creator, it says in verses 21 through 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Jonathan, that is a fitting verse for Erasmus Darwin. And unfortunately, his evolutionary thinking paved the way for his grandson Charles, who would later take these ideas to the masses. It just goes to show how a man's life will affect generations to come.
So, Dad, now that we know this clue is a poem from Erasmus, where do we go from here?
Katie, type Beacon Street, comma, Erasmus Darwin into your search engine.
All right.
Dad, do you think you know where the clue is pointing us?
Maybe.
I came up with a webpage about the Erasmus Darwin house. Located on Beacon Street in Staffordshire in the UK.
Guys, I think we have our next location. Let's go tell the others.
All right.
Beverages?
Oh, no, thank you.
Beverages?
anyone?
So what do you think the scavenger hunt's all about?
I don't know, but here we are on our way to Staffordshire instead of back to Brennan Ranch.
So, is the rest of your family back there in the same row?
Nope. You know how it is with last minute and tickets. Katie and baby Joseph are with Angela. But I think I saw an open seat further back by Jonathan, so I think I might go back and sit with him for a little bit. Well, hello, boys.
Oh, hello, Dad. This is Adrian. He lives in Staffordshire, where we're going.
Hello.
And this is my father, Dr. Kendall Park.
My pleasure. So, do you boys mind if I join you?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
I was just sharing with Adrian about the Lord.
Yes, but I told him, I'm not sure that I really believe in a creator.
In the Bible, it tells us in John 1:3 that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
I know that's what the Bible says, but most scientists say that evolution is true.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should mention that. Our team's on the way to the home of Erasmus Darwin, one of the first to write about evolution.
So, if so many scientists believe in evolution, why should I question it?
Well, Adrian, we have a little while before we land in Birmingham. Do you mind if I spend a few minutes sharing the evidence that's in harmony with the Bible?
I think that'd be interesting.
Great. Well, first, I need to take you to the beginning. The book of Genesis tells us about the Creator and how He created. It says, in the beginning,
burning the late night oil, eh, Mitch? Working hard to make the London Harbinger the best newspaper in the country.
Hey, 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 look what the cat drug in. Crack reporter Trenton Wells, back from assignment in Sweden. So how was your trip?
Oh, you know, downed a few Swedish meatballs and pickled herring. Hey, I covered a few stories while I was there, but I want to tell you about one of them.
Uh-oh. You've got that look in your eye.
Look?
Yeah, the one where you get some crazy idea that involves me.
Stop tapping on that computer and listen to this. While in Sweden, I interviewed this American group that stumbled onto a scavenger hunt.
Uh-huh.
Mitch, their first clue was the Swedish Royal Order of the Polar Star. Mm. Now they're off to follow up another clue here in England.
Yes?
The first clue promised a reward beyond their wildest imagination.
Loads of money, eh?
Aha, now you're starting to get interested.
I am not. Just like I thought, this is another one of your foolish schemes.
It's a piece of cake. I'm a reporter. I'll continue to follow their story, getting insider information. And with your job designing games for the paper, you're an expert with puzzles, codes, clues, encrypted languages. Between us, we're an unstoppable scavenger hunt machine.
Well, I might consider it. Over a steak dinner?
Yes, that's the spirit. It's time for you and I to finally get a payoff for all this talent we possess.
Hey, that's great, isn't it? Now let's go get that steak dinner you owe me, huh?
The Erasmus Darwin house is so beautiful. The red brick Gregorian mansion is decorated so stately inside.
Listen, team, our strategy is the same as before. Let's do our best and search the house.
Sounds good.
Okay. We need to solve this poem. What does cantinotesi mean?
Oh, wow! Look, some words and fragments are also in a very slightly different font.
Really?
Which ones?
Well, it looks like the first one is ascending.
Oh, and look, steps in the word footsteps.
A 10, right here. The phrase 10 is a different font.
Ascending, steps, 10.
It's the 10th step on the staircase!
Wow!
Come on, they're just around the corner!
Okay, here goes. 5. 10.
Hollow! It sounded hollow!
Alright, hang on. Wow, look at this. The whole front of the stair is opening up like a wooden box.
What's inside, Dad?
It looks like the botanical garden. A book of two poems written by Erasmus Darwin himself.
So, now what?
Cantinotesi. The word hidden in italics from the poem.
Wait, remember, the entire word notes was italicized. Break it into words before and after the word notes.
It's canto, notes, I.
Well, canto or canto means song in Latin. And it's not an I, it's a Roman numeral one. I think I'm supposed to turn to the canto notes 1.
What's it say?
Listen to this. Erasmus wrote, "Gradual progress of the formation of the earth, and of plants and animals, monstrous births, fixed stars approach towards each other. They were projected from chaos by explosion, and the planets projected from them."
Erasmus was already talking about something like the Big Bang back in the 1700s?
You know, Katie, I'm a little surprised as well. Look, here's another page number.
What's it say?
Here we go. "It may be objected that if the stars had been projected from a chaos by explosions, they must have returned again into it from the known laws of gravitation. This, however, would not happen if the whole chaos, like grains of gunpowder, was exploded at the same time and dispersed through infinite space at once or in quick succession in every possible direction."
It's sad he wasn't aware of all the modern scientific discoveries that now present major problems for the Big Bang.
That's right. The Big Bang says that all matter was created from an explosion of energy, right? Well, physics tells us that whenever matter is created from energy, that it makes equal amounts of matter and antimatter. And yet, almost all the antimatter is completely missing. Again, this seems to be proof against the Big Bang theory. And there's so many more.
So, while men like Erasmus were smart, their theory was wrong.
Yes, that is true. We should never take man's faulty theories and use them to reinterpret the infallible words of the Creator.
Well, look, an envelope fell out. With a polar star seal!
Yes, it's another clue. "The reflection from my carriage will yield the numbers that will guide you down the brick path. Okay, I say we let the others know, and then we need to think over our next move."
So we're outside the house like this because the new clue said something about Erasmus' carriage.
Yes, the curator told me this was the way that Erasmus' carriage traveled when he came and went.
So when did all the media show up?
While you, Katie, and Jonathan were inside finding the clue.
Okay, creation response team, let's fan out and look for possible clues that could be connected to Erasmus' carriage.
Sounds good.
Okay. Oh, here comes the curator. I want to ask him another question.
You've got quite the media zoo going on out here. Is all well?
Sir, do you know anything unusual about Erasmus Darwin's carriage?
He often used it to get to meetings of the Lunar Society. Well, yes, as a matter of fact. For a short time, he had a motto painted right across it. I think it was E Conscious Omnia. It's Latin for everything from shells.
He had that written on his carriage?
Yes, and it made a few people quite angry. He was a strong believer that life began in the sea.
Darwin had a statement on his carriage about life from the sea?
While inside the Erasmus house, I found a copy of his book, The Temple of Nature. Inside, I discovered this passage. It says, "Organic life began beneath the waves, hence without parent, by spontaneous birth. Rise the first specks of animated earth." It appears that Erasmus Darwin was one of the first men to write about the origin of life from the sea.
Your group is called the Creation Response Team. Are you opposed to these ideas of Erasmus?
The scientific law of biogenesis says that life can only come from life. This idea that Erasmus had, that non-living chemicals in the ocean would suddenly spring to life, violates this scientific law.
So, you're saying that the ideas of Erasmus Darwin weren't scientific?
I'm saying that Erasmus Darwin and others to follow were trying to say that life created itself. But I say the scientific evidence points to a creator. Yes, Jonathan?
Dad, the clue says that the reflection of the carriage will yield numbers. What if I spell out E Conscious Omnia letter by letter and we convert it to numbers that correspond with their order in the alphabet?
I'm on it.
Here we go. E
5
C
3
O
15
N
14
C
3
H
8
I
9
S
19
O
15
M
13
N
14
I
9
A
1.
But why does the clue go out of its way to mention the reflection of the carriage?
Maybe it's because he could see the reflection, just like now. See us in the window of the house?
Ryan, that's it. Look at my t-shirt. The words are backward in our reflection.
We need to turn this number sequence backward.
But then what do we do with it?
The reflection from my carriage will yield the numbers that will guide you down the brick path.
Oh, guys, I think I saw a brick path over this way.
Look,
Here's the brick path!
Good job, honey!
The last number in the sequence was 1.
Right here. I've got my pocket knife. I'll pry it up. Yes. There's writing carved on the underside.
Can you hold it up for the camera?
What does it say?
That's worn and dirty. But it looks like it says, buried at my feet.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, let's keep following the numbers until we have the complete clue. Jesse, it looks like the next number back in the sequence is 9. Let's count them off.
5?
Yes, brick number 5.
All right, well, here we go. It says, creature fixes his gaze.
Trenton Wells with the London Harbinger. It appears you reached the final brick. Can you tell us the entire message that's been revealed?
Not at this time. We'll let you know when it's appropriate.
Okay, Creation Response Team. Let's get back inside the Erasmus House and collect the rest of our team and decide our next move.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Eddie, what are you doing?
Look, it's another invention by Erasmus Darwin. It's a copying machine. The sign says that when you move this pen, it moves another in the exact same motion, so you can make an exact copy.
And it works, too.
Are you using the new clue?
Yeah. And look how it made an exact copy.
Eddie, they gave that to us to keep safe.
Guys, my dad wants you to join the rest of us. We're going to go out and discuss our next move.
Trenton Wells.
How's it going?
Not so good. The Creation Response Team found the next clue but wouldn't reveal it.
Well, this is your day. Guess what one of the boys was using on Erasmus's copy machine?
The clue?
Yes, I have an exact copy of it right here in my hand. And I don't think they even noticed they left it behind.
Yes, Mitch, all we need to do is decipher it, and then we'll beat them to the treasure.
This restaurant's really packed.
I've been dying to know what our next clue is.
Me too. You kids already reassembled the phrases that we found under the bricks at the Erasmus House. And Jesse, can you read the entire clue?
Buried at my feet is what will direct your ways. 6 before me, and 5 years after were the length of his days. Robertson now sleeps in this place. This illusionist now rests at Pierre Lachaise. Toward me, the far left-wing creature fixes his gaze.
You know, it seems that this hunt just keeps going on and on.
Okay, let's keep moving, son.
Dad, wait just a minute.
What's wrong?
This is the boy from the plane I was telling you about.
Hey, Jonathan, look, it's our friend from the flight.
Dad, this is the team we saw on the news the other night.
Who's this, Jonathan?
This is Adrian. He lives in Staffordshire.
Hello, hey, nice to meet you.
Really good
to meet you. Nice to meet you. I want to let you know your team has had a profound effect on our family.
Really? In what way?
I recognized Jonathan when we started seeing the news report on TV. They've been following you and your scavenger hunt.
I can't tell you how much hearing about the men who first began asking the questions about the creation-evolution debate puts it all into perspective. It started quite a few conversations in our house, doesn't it, son?
Yes, like the information about the origin of life. Then we started going on your website and learning so much more.
Yes, it's been a real eye-opener. I can't wait to see what you chaps uncover next.
Actually, we may be headed home.
No, you can't. There are families like ours all around the world that are hanging at the edge of this hunt. We want to see you find the treasure.
And it's giving us the opportunity to hear the evidence for creation and ask some tough questions and to find answers, like the one your son presented mine on the plane.
You've just got to go on.
Well, thank you so much for all your encouragement. You're very, very kind. It's been nice to hear that it's blessing people and benefiting your family as well.
Okay, Adrian. You better let these nice people alone.
Goodbye, Jonathan.
We'll be praying.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, that was amazing.
And Dr. Park, I meant to tell you about our website. If our hits continue to climb, I think we may reach the same numbers we had during the Battle of the Worldviews.
Really?
Kendall, we keep trying to find out our team's next purpose. And it's really been bothering us that we've been distracted on this scavenger hunt.
But what if this is what the Lord is calling us to next?
I agree. Here we've been so focused on getting back to our real mission, we might be missing the bigger picture.
And with the media's help, we've already been taking the creation message to the world.
Well then, gang,
I'd say we just found the next mission for the Creation Response Team.
Great!
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and The Journey Never Taken. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team treks through a storm in the famous Père Lachaise graveyard as clues transport them to Paris in Jonathan Park and the Mysterious Host.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.